I want you to just encourage you today. And men, we want to learn how to box right, okay? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, okay, we're not in heaven yet, okay? Let's just recognize that Paul's writing to Christians. And this is a reality. You could be in denial if you want. But when you stub your toe, it hurts just like a heathen. Amen? And we do walk in this fleshly carcass. And it is getting older every second as I speak. But at the same token, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For our weapons are different. The weapons of our warfare are something a little bit different than somebody that doesn't know Jesus. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, or your translation might say, are not carnal, but have divine power to destroy strongholds, bunkers. They have come up with a bunker buster bomb that's a minimal 500 pounds on up they've used in the last couple wars. It could go down and literally break that bunker. And strongholds in our life, in our mind, between our ears, of what we think about ourselves, what we think about women, what we think about authority, have to be destroyed because usually they're perverted or they've come out of hurt. And hurt men end up hurting other men, women, and children. It says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Now, it goes on and says, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We win and lose in our flesh, our morals, our self-image, between these ears. We believe that the enemy, and the enemy's doing it right now, like, oh, tell me something I don't know. Or so-and-so needs to hear this. Or if you only knew my problem. You don't understand what I grew up in. You don't understand what I'm living with now. You don't understand my finances. You don't understand my physical body right now. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand I'm sick, I'm young, I'm old. You don't understand, you don't understand, you don't understand. Listen, the enemy sits on your shoulder and is tearing us down continually and wants you to put your guard down so you could get hit in the head and lay out, and snoring is the light part of it. It says, taking every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish. Yes, you have the authority. You have to box. You have to be prepared, men, this year to punish. But we can't punish the wrong things and the wrong people. To punish every, are you ready for this? Disobedience. And we don't have the authority or the ability to do that until our obedience is complete. Now, for about the next 4 minutes and 30 seconds, my whole message is going to be preached to you in sight and sound. If you catch this, you can get out of here really early. So eyes above. Not just as a nation, but there is terrorism. There's spirits and principalities and powers and imaginations and arguments from the past. Allegations and temptations of the present and threats of the future that throw us into an arena before a mighty cloud of witnesses, many times before our own families and friends, of a fight. But Father, you tell us in your word that we should fight the good fight of faith. Father, I pray right now, men that are just tired, weary. This is Father's Day, and Father, you know these principles work for all. But Father, I pray right now for men that the enemy is boxing them, their past, and sometimes even family members, that they'll recognize that in this fight of faith, the battle is the Lord's. And you know only one thing, and that's victory. Give every person in this building victory. And Lord, give every man, make every man a godly champion in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We have to learn today. And I'm going to try to not say ladies and gentlemen, because ladies, you know what? You're little, but you're mighty. Boy, you know how to fight. But man, listen, we have to learn how, before we ever get in a ring, before there's a round one, before we ever step into the ring of that day, of that confrontation that God knows about, it doesn't catch him by surprise, that comes in a form maybe of a pink slip on the job, or an accusation, or a situation where you come and you're blindsided, and you get hit, you didn't need this right now. It could be a doctor's report, it could be a bank draft, it could be something. I want you to know, before you get into the arena of every day for the rest of your life, boxing requires discipline. Discipline. We have to discipline ourselves. We can't do it once a week and expect physically to be fit. We can't do it once a week and expect emotionally and mentally and spiritually that we could get fit. Matter of fact, the longer we go on in this life as a spiritual boxer, we recognize it seems like we have to do a little bit more today than we had to do yesterday because we're getting a little bit older. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war to the flesh. We have to discipline our body. We have to discipline our mind. Paul says that physical exercise profits some. But I'm going to tell you something. That's important. But we have to exercise our mind. Have it renewed every day by the promises of God. Because the enemy, your past, and others, and the news is going to tell you what you haven't accomplished. What you'll never be able to accomplish. And expose you to your failures. And if the enemy and if we don't discipline ourselves before we ever get into the ring and the arena of that day, the enemy is going to blindside us. And we're living at a state right now where I'm seeing people throw away their hope. And then they spiral into depression. The scripture says a hope deferred makes the heart sick. But if you know there's a winnable fight, the rest of that verse says, but when expectation comes, it brings forth the tree of life. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to re-enter a fight to make yourself weary, or even one that you've lost before. But we need to learn as men of God in this boxing arena to enter into a fight that was already won for us. And it's called Calvary. Jesus defused the enemy. He made an open spectacle of the enemy and even the law that we couldn't fulfill, it says in Scripture. Boxing requires discipline. 1 Corinthians 9:14-27. Don't you know that in a race, all runners race, but only one receives the prize? So, listen, so run that you may obtain. He said, what's running got to do with boxing? Hey, just watch Rocky. You need the stamina and the cardiovascular to keep your arms up so you don't get hit. It goes on to say, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Self-control. You might feel good. You might feel like you've had the advantage, the spiritual advantage, to take every thought into captivity, to respond the right way when tempted or seduced. But it's going to take more today than it did yesterday, man. It's going to take now faith, more faith today than a little dab will do you of 10 years ago. We're living in a society that is so wicked that if we don't have a first revival in the church, it is going to be really a hard place, a ugly place to live in. And if we fail, if we throw in the towel, the enemy is not happy by taking us out. He'll seek and destroy our wives and our sons and daughters and grandchildren. Verse 26 in 1 Corinthians 9 goes on to say, so I'm not going to run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. Verse 27, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control. You cannot get out of control. You cannot fight wrong. You got to discipline yourself. You cannot afford to say the D word. The divorce word, if you're fussing in your marriage. You cannot just do a attack against those that you made covenant with. Because the next generation is watching. We have to discipline ourselves inside and then outside. Or else the enemy will disqualify us, or even worse, God will. But I discipline my body and keep it under control. Listen, lest after preaching to others, and men, sometimes it's really easy to say, don't do what I do, do what I say. That never worked. It never will work. It says, after preaching to others, that I myself should be disqualified. To win in the sport of boxing, one must discipline their eating habits, their cardiovascular. They must have wind and submit their body to denial and rigorous training. So to be a fit participant for every round, and most boxing matches aren't won on a lucky punch of one or two rounds. It's usually 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, and then you win by decision. There'll be no favorable decision if there's no discipline before the fights of life come your way. 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart holy, useful in the master's house, ready for every good work. And may I submit to you, every good battle. That's why Paul told the men and women as young believers in the church of Rome in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That same Greek word, also reasonable praise. Oh, we could come up here and we could do some praise. Listen, we could make tears come to our eyes and tears come to your eyes. But let me tell you, reasonable praise means reasonable service. After the praise, am I in the house of God listening to the word? Am I allow myself to be dealt with by the prompting of the Holy Spirit to condition me so I could run to the altar and be built up and be strengthened and be strong? Boxing requires discipline. Let me tell you what else it... Now, when you saw that little video clip, I don't know if you noticed, it gave all the points. So I'll see who's paying attention. I don't need to do that. You did. Oh, that's because you're a pretty good boxer, baby. Number two. Listen, I fear no man, but man, I think twice if I tangle with that woman. Boxing draws a crowd as well as witnesses, so make sure you box right. Make sure you box right. 2 Corinthians 10:4, because we weapons of our warfare, they're not of the flesh. Let me tell you, we're in so much pressure right now. We need some supernatural help. Amen? So if we want supernatural help, if we want the edge, we can't fight with weakness. We can't fight with the flesh. We can't fight by intimidation. That's what the enemy does for you and I. He goes about and he makes accusations against the elect. And that's you. You're the elect if you're a Christian. But divine power. We need divine power to destroy every stronghold. Acts 1:8, as the New Testament church was birthed, says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And as a result, you will be my witnesses in your city, Samaria, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the world. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses like that, some of the matches you saw in Manila and you know, Las Vegas, Atlantic City, some of those places, Madison Square Gardens, people are watching. People see. They see the battle. The Bible says we are also surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every weight, every sin which clings us so closely and bogs us down. Let us run with endurance. The race is before us. Listen, you can't go into a boxing match. You know, all the weights that you use to build up resistance and strength, hey, you got to let them go to get in, to have your arms up. You cannot carry and be encumbered by things that need to be dropped out of the race, dropped out of the fight of life, dropped out of the strategies that you need. Men, and many times we get so encumbered, we forfeit our peace, we open the door to a wrong thought life, and then all of a sudden we have to be the man of the hour for our wives, the man of the hour for our family, the man of the hour for our children, for our church. People are watching. People are watching. And so is God. And I believe those who died before us make up that heavenly mighty cloud of witnesses. I don't know about you, but when my high school, public school number 25, when a fight broke out, what was the first thing that happened? Over here, even in DeLand High or Deltona, you know, people came around, made a big circle and watched. It's not a good thing to do. Shouldn't be fighting. But it draws a crowd, as well as witnesses. You get called by, you know, we have resource officers here to this church, like Officer Dye. First thing he does, he says, okay, come here. You said you were here. He hears kids talking in the hall. I heard, overheard you talk. You saw that fire. I need to talk to you. What did you witness? Well, I witnessed this kid walking by, and just some other guy just hit him, and he took out some brass knuckles. You witnessed that? Yes. Or what did you witness? And another day, I just witnessed this guy mind his own business, and somebody pushed him, and he had enough, and he did something. Well, that's going to determine the outcome. Boxing draws a crowd, as well as witnesses. So box right. The whole world right now, I believe, in the history of time, at least in the history of your life and mine, and watching you and I under the pressure, under the crucible of the fire of this age of sin, of debt, of financial challenge. Everybody's watching. Those who named the name of Christ now are in the arena. And the world who's already defeated are saying, I'm going to watch you. And if you win, maybe I could win too. To win in the sport of boxing, one must not allow their emotions and their feelings to be influenced by the crowd of spectators. It's always somebody who never had a fight say, go ahead, man, you know, standing around. Go back in there and fight. Go back in there and fight. You could do it. Take him out. Did you hear what he said? No, I'm going to start with you next. You want to fight so much, right? Be careful. Fight right. Don't make every battle yours. Don't make every fight yours. Don't share your problems, your dreams with people who don't have the authority, no matter how much authority they boast, or the ability to help you succeed in ministry, in fatherhood, in parenting, in business, commerce, and citizenship. Number three, boxing. I hate to tell you this, but guess what? It has its knockdowns. It really does. Paul goes on to say in that portion of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:9, he said, in the same letter rather, he said, persecuted. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Persecution comes. Oh, I don't believe in the betrayal. I don't believe people think that of me. I don't believe after being such a good neighbor, my neighbor did this or that. Persecuted. But I want to tell you something. You might be knocked down, but you're not forsaken. You might be struck down. You might be struck down, but you're not destroyed. Get up! Get up, men. Men, get up. The enemy wants you down for the count. You say, well, my wife wants me down. No, she doesn't. She doesn't want you getting up and being ugly and fighting in the flesh, but she wants, the women want us to get up. Our children want us to get up, or else they have no hope. I had a bunch of college singles in my house Thursday night, and I share with them, listen, my responsibility is not to give you what you want, is not to keep you a 26-year-old forever, a 22-year-old forever. My responsibility is to make you successful when you're 30, 35, 40, when you have a child, when you go through the firefights of life. So I'll be the bad guy and have to say no to you once in a while. Boxing has its knockdowns. But sometimes the other side of that knockdown is the bell ringing at the right time so you could just get some rest in between the rounds. The greatest boxer sometimes needs to hear that bell. Sit down that little piano bench, spit out the old, get some refreshing water, have his wounds salted, septic stick, and get back in. To win in the sport of boxing comes only to those who, when they're knocked down, refuse to stay down. They rise before the count. and they battle again to win. Psalms 37:24 says, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. That was David. David's son, Solomon, said, though a righteous man knock down, fall down seven times he gets up. In New Testament light, Jesus' disciple comes to me and say, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? He said, 7 times 70, which is basically infinity. Listen, don't stay down. Get up, man. Get up with your faith. Get up with your marriage. Get up with your health. Get up with the finances that might be in a wreck. Get up and be free from your past. Be free from the accusations of the liar. Yes, you've fallen short. Confess your sins. Shake it off. Get up. I should have more men saying amen than ladies today. Paul and Silas were knocked down at Philippi. I mean, right now, they're doing something good. You ever hear Christians sometimes, we're like, babe, I'm just trying to be good. And this is the thanks I get for using my gift in the church. Paul, Silas, man, they're riding a wave of that church that was just birthed, the fire of God, the power of God, something the priests and the scribes and Pharisees never had. They didn't need this, or maybe they did. They were doing well with the gospel when suddenly they were floored by a cunning, demon-possessed girl. A little, cute girl that even seemed spiritual. These are men of the Most High God. And then they were imprisoned, but not for long. I love that story in Acts 16. I love it. It says in verse 23, and when they had been inflicted many blows upon them, they were even thrown into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safe. But something happened. Instead of whining, instead of fighting in the flesh, instead of saying, let's take out this guy and cut his throat when the guard gets close, they were praising God at midnight. Then something happened. The suddenlies come, men, when you don't give up. The place shook. And then an angel came in, took the guys out. Their shackles fell away. And the jail keeper said, I'm dead for this. He's ready to commit suicide because it was on his clock. And Paul saw that. You don't have to do that, man. Listen, we're all here. It's okay. And that man was so touched. He goes, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, listen, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and your household. Boxing has its knockdowns, but men, get up, because your people, even the guy who jailed you's watching. You might help him. He might help you. God might be an inch away from activating the angelic host to bring healing and provision for you. And the rest of the message isn't even finished, because God could use this for household salvation. The root word of testimony is test. The root word of muscles is resistance. You got enough time. See, I showed that little video clip. In case I run out of time, you see the whole message. I hid in that video clip every point. Number 4. Ding, ding. Hey, yeah, when I say the number, I want somebody to say ding, ding. Okay, that's right. Okay, number 4. Okay, boxing has an opponent. Paul said, we're not like those who box against the air. There isn't a real opponent. Verse 5 from our text, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. We're taking every thought captive to obedience to Christ. Yes, the opponent is our imagination, is our past. You'll never succeed. Oh, your daddy had his stronghold. Oh, people just know you as this type of person. Oh, the opponent is every fear, your greatest fear. Your opponent are things that will never happen. You realize 80 to 90% of everything you fear will never happen, whether you're a heathen or a believer. Fear and intimidation is how a lot of people win in the street. They're not better than you. I remember my father. I wanted to get the picture in time. I just got home from the army, had my dress greens on, and my dad's 5'5", black eyes. And there's a picture of my dad like this, like, I said, Dad, I'm mapping away. I want to see it. Come on, kids. You know. The last 3 days, I tried to look for a little picture. But he taught me one thing. Now, every teenager, plug your ears. You're not allowed to hear this. There's one guy in my neighborhood always pushing me, always pushing me. My dad and my mom, you know, they said, listen, you don't avoid fights, avoid fights. Don't go through the next neighborhood alone. And I got pushing. Then my dad says, okay, I'll talk to you. He said, next time this guy smacks you around and he won't even let you leave, just smile and say, I don't want any trouble. He said, I'm going to teach you a sneak shot. He said, then go and break his nose. Blood will shoot all over the place and he'll never mess with you again, even if he could beat you up. Now, that's why I said teenagers don't hear that. And I'm going on record. I didn't say do that. Thank God we have school resource officers. We got youth pastors. And we got all kind of people. We got mega men. We got you covered in this city. But what I'm trying to show you, our biggest opponents is us. I mean, we say Satan. Satan's behind it, but it's us. It's our past. It's vain imagination. Oh, they're just trying to hold me back. They really don't love me. Oh, Sister Renee, I'm not good enough to be her friend. Listen. If you can keep up with her, you got to be her friend. We have these imaginations. Oh, just because I don't go to Mega Man, Pastor don't like me. That's garbage. Anybody knows me, so I love people to stab me in the back. I love sinners. I love everybody. I just don't listen to whining, that's all. Makes me weak. Makes my arms come down. I can't make you happy. Joy of the Lord's your strength. Get joy. Wisdom's a principal thing. Come on now, we're in war, man. We're in a boxing match that our parents only dreamed of. How can we salvage our kids if we're licking our wounds? We got a real opponent. The devil's an adversary. He's ugly. He hates us. It's our flesh. It's our past. It was that which is passed on to us. It's principalities, demons, spiritual wickedness in high places. But listen, it says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's just roaring. He's trying to intimidate you because he knows you have more authority as a Christian in your pinky and he ever has. And sometimes you just gotta say, I had enough of this. Pow! And let his nose break. And then he'll leave you alone for a day or so. It's true. To win in the sport of boxing, one must be knowledgeable about their adversary or opponent. Study his tactics. Study his tactics. We see Luke, our own Luke Scott, number 30 baseball player, he's breaking records of home runs, and all of a sudden, all the coaches and all the American League and Interleague, they start saying, they have him down to where the ball, the power shots are that he extends and gets a home run. And they said, this is what you got to do, Luke Scott. This is how you got to pitch, Luke Scott. This is what you got to do, Luke Scott. And every boxer, going back to Cassius Clay, this is a weakness. This is your weakness. Don't fight hard. Keep your energy. Wait till the eighth or ninth round. Wait. The opponent has a track record of getting tired. His right arm goes down. That's when you could go up. And that's what the enemy. We got to be careful what we speak. We got to be careful of the strategies and the weaknesses of those we love the most. And don't expose them. Don't even say it to your wife because the enemy catches them. The enemy catches them. And tries to take out your wife and children and try to take you out first, sir. 1 John 2:14, I write to you, fathers, because you know him who was from the beginning. I write to you, young men. Listen, young men, youth and young adults. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. We see Jesus in the wilderness. It's repeated twice in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. He's led of the Spirit by the Spirit of God into the wilderness before he was ever tested for ministry, ever done ministry. He had to fight and box the enemy. Satan came to him when Jesus was his arms were heaviest, when he was weak, he was on a fast, he was in a wilderness. Then Satan, that big coward, comes up and when a man's most weak and tempts with him. And then not only that, says, if you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus didn't name drop and say, don't you know who my daddy is? He used the word of God, word perfect, Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8, three times and three challenges. He said, take this, enemy, take this. It is written, it is written, it is written. Our testimony must be his testimony. Revelation 12:11, and we overcame, we conquered, we beat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. They love not their life unto death. No fear. Number five. Boxing has its low blows. They do. They do. After Jesus was tempted of the enemy to prove his strength, in Matthew 4, it would be only one chapter later, his first message, a series of messages amongst his first teaching. What does he teach? Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when others revile you and they persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. It's a low blow. It's not fair. It's not fair. Why are they doing that? We had Dr. Jim Guth yesterday, and he was here, and he poured himself into our men, our young men, older men, and he told me a story on the property in the afternoon. He goes, you know what? We had a precious man, a godly man in a community, never got in trouble with the law. We're so, because people in the church don't want to volunteer, we wore out our volunteers at our church. He had a four-year-old group of boys, and the other person didn't even call that was supposed to help him. It was AWOL, and the little boy had to go to the bathroom, and he said, what am I going to do? Couldn't find a man in blue, couldn't find an usher, and he takes the boy to the bathroom. Boy's hyperactivity, jump up and down. His father was law enforcement. The father was not yet believing. Asked him all kinds of questions over and over and over again. The boy gave some answers, and this man was falsely accused. His life was destroyed. Completely destroyed. Completely. It's just shook the church. Boxing has its low blows. Those who want to live right, those who want to be men of God, you still will suffer persecution. Stuff happens. You can't take your jacks and quit. You can't throw in the towel. Then, men, then you got to live with yourself. Then the enemy's done. He doesn't have to mess with you anymore. You could look pretty on the outside. I'll tell you, forgive me. I know we could have a whole lot more people. And I want our arts department to be nice. But I'll tell you, looks can be deceiving. Same people here worshiping, teaching us how to worship. I want to see at the altar. I want to see in the church, listening to the word of God. I want to see, be ready to minister to people, and they respond. Same person, man of God, who wants to come and preach, he wants to roar like a lion at my pulpit on Sunday, he better not purr like a little kitten on Monday. And not have a reputation in the community. Because you know what? Boxing in this life has low blows. Be careful. I don't even know why they happen. But it's probably because the enemy fights dirty. To win in the sport of boxing, one must be prepared for people to deceive you or lie about you. These low blows are created by Satan, and the people that do them will have the hardest time in the lake of fire, even if they sing and preach like a bird. These low blows are created by Satan, the father of lies, who uses these tactics to cause us to lose our control. If this is what serving God is, if this is what teaching Sunday school is, if this is what means being a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. Okay, let's cut off our nose, spite our face, let's curse our country, and move to a communist or a Middle Eastern country. I don't think so. It is still the best place. 1 Peter 2:19 and 20, for this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if you, when doing good, suffer for it, if you endure, this is a great thing in the sight of God. We saw this with Potiphar's wife and a story of Joseph, godly young man, falsely accused, seduced. And he said, how could I do this to my God and to my master? Didn't matter. He said all the right things. He had all the safeguards in he could have. And yet he was thrown in prison, falsely accused. The butcher and the baker betrayed him. But because he responded the right way, God raised him up and made him the highest in command in Egypt, save Pharaoh, was able to save a heathen nation, save a godly nation, and his own family, because he responded the right way, and he boxed according to the rules. Number six, boxing requires listening to the trainer. Oh, come on now. You can't train yourself. You can't train yourself. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, Paul said. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this world, but pleases the one who has enlisted him. Isaiah 30:21. You know why? We cut ourselves slack when we're by ourselves. I'm the man. Oh, I got a little stitch pain. I'll just sit back. I know it. I schedule a workout and I bring an apple, some fruit, and eat while I'm working so I can go to the Y and live a little bit longer to harass all you young generation for as many years as I can. I go to the Y, but when Sal doesn't go to Y, or some of the Meg men don't go to Y, I'll go there. I'll talk myself out. I'll get a cup of coffee and talk with everybody. Ooh, I got to get back to church. I need that. Only my wife could get up at 5 in the morning and run in the heat. I don't know. No, she's okay. I just run towards the sunset. Sunrise. That's why we get along. I'm a sunset guy. She's a sunrise guy. Boxing requires listening to the trainer. Isaiah 30:21. And your ears shall hear the word behind you saying, this is the way to go. Walk in it. When you turn to the right or turn to the left. 2 Timothy 2:2. And what you have heard from me, Paul said, in the presence of mighty witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. To win in the sport of boxing, one must listen to the voice and advice of the Holy Spirit, the scripture, and proven servants who has trained us and is now in our corner, encouraging us and guiding us, saying, you could do it. I'm going to see you next week. I know what God has said. I've seen you when you're on the mountain. You're going to do it. You're going to live and not die. You're not going to give up and go to hell on my clock. You can get mad at me. I don't care. You know, years ago, I was so bummed out. I'd be bummed out. Every Monday, I want to resign. I get these little letters. I get these notes. People leave the church. People upset. Man, something happened in the last couple of years. I'll be here. You want to come back. It's all right. On my clock, I want you to stand before God. I want you to have a supernatural regenerated neck so you could handle the crown, so you could have a legacy. So you're not some flash in the dark. Big deal. You could preach. You could sing. You could do a gift. The gifts will take you farther and they could keep you. We need a fruit of the Spirit. We need a good trainer. I have people in my life that could say no to me. I give them up. I give them freedom. I have more invited authority in my life than when in home missions and in staff, whatever. I invited my wife, spiritual elders. Because I know on my worst day, that flesh could be ugly. That devil get on that shoulder and put a pity party on one side or make me get ugly. Boxing requires listening to the trainer. Do you have anyone that's able to say no to you? Without taking your jacks and going to another wife, another home, another church, another job. If not, you're not meet for the master. You're not a man yet. Whether you're 57, 77, 87. Doesn't even count if you're under 30. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, but he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. In closing, number seven, boxing has a final round. Dun, 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 dun. Yo, Jesus! 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, I've warred out over the years. It chronologically is the last place where Paul's ready to be martyred. It's the last writing he would ever write before he's going to be given his life for the gospel. And this is what he says. I fought a good fight. And that word is in the Greek is agonizomai. It means to contend for victory in a public arena, in a boxing match. I have fought. I've contended in front of my critics. I've contended in front of my spiritual children. I've contended in front of the church. I have contended in a public arena for victory. Victory is the only choice. And it was a good fight. I fought according to the rules. And I finished this thing. I finished this race. And I didn't get bitter. I didn't say that's serving God. I work hard. What else do you expect me to do? I kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Listen, but not only me, but to all those who love his appearing. To win in the sport of boxing, one must have a spirit that endures till the end. Revelation, the Apocalypse says, those that endure till the end shall be saved. I might mess up some Calvinist. Endures to the end, hurt, not thanked enough, not paid enough, not recognized enough, bruised, bloodied. The man of God refuses to give up, but fights until the final bell, after which and not until which, and then he receives his crown. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, when he's thrown to the arena, when he's in the worst type of boxing match he could be, his flesh is roaring against him, his past, opportunity for now to sin, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. The last picture that you saw in that little video clip was Jesus on the cross. Teleleo in Greek, he simply said, in the arena of the greatest boxing match of all history, with the Father's above, his family's below, and the whole world he drips his blood for, and he says, it is finished. God sets the stage for your final round. And in Christ, your final round is only victory. Defeat, men, is no option. Defeat, ladies, is no option. Would you stand with me?